Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
How to create inclusive communities. It's a challenge being faced by many towns and villages right across the country. The Family Resource Centre runs Ireland's largest national community development and family support programme. And at its national forum, which started today, their focus was on creating inclusive communities and building on the work they've done already. I'm joined now by Family Resource Centre CEO Fergal Landy and Edgar Flores, who's from Guatemala but came to Ireland as an international protection applicant with his family back in February 2023. You're both very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cormac.
Fergal, I might start with you. Can you describe to us a little bit about what the Family Resource Centre does up and down the country?
Thanks, Cormac. Yeah, I mean, there's 121 Family Resource Centres around the country. Some of those are in very rural settings and some of those are in very urban settings. Some are in communities where there's specific disadvantage, socioeconomic disadvantage, and others are more in just in more general communities. But really what makes us stand apart and the way we describe it is a human rights-based approach to community development and family support across the life course. But what we mean by that is really we're not, like many organisations legitimately are specialised in a particular cohort of people, like older people or people with disabilities, mm-hmm. or particular issues or problems. We're not. Our sharp focus comes on place. So we're adopting a place-based approach to maximise the participation and the well-being of the whole community in that particular place.
Okay.
And as the challenge, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, so in that context then, and you're trying to build creative and inclusive communities, so what are the main tensions when you're working on at community level around integration?
Well, I suppose what we've found, and I mean, what we've tried to do is focus on that positive community building or of building inclusive communities where the whole community is involved. And that might be Irish people who've lived here for a long time. That might be people who weren't born in Ireland, but are living here for a long time. And that might be people who've arrived more recently. An obvious tension for us is challenges, or an obvious challenge for us is the resourcing of that work, right? So many of these issues aren't new. They've actually been around for a long time. But post the recession in Ireland, in post 2008, the most significant cuts came on the types of community development initiatives that would actually be in advance of any problems or tensions occurring, and bringing the whole community into a safe space to talk about the problems that they collectively face. And that might be things like housing, it might be things like access to GP or other health services, but actually creating a sense of solidarity that everybody is impacted on those by those issues, and actually directing then the conversation into collective advocacy to do something about that.
And if you don't have, Fergal, if you don't have the adequate resources to do all those things, do you find it more difficult then to battle fearmongers and far-right extremists who try and exploit some of the divisions in communities?
That's exactly it. I mean, this problem, again, isn't a surprise. I mean, understandably, there's been a drift towards service delivery in Ireland. So we have a lot of services. We have a lot of individual interventions. Our core funding comes through TUSLA, Child and Family Agency, and that's appreciated. And we do individual work with children and families who might be struggling to cope. We also do work around mental health and so on and counselling. And that kind of individual work is very important. And it's right that that is adequately funded. Right. But community development is slightly different. It's working with people in groups. It's softer kind of work. You're bringing people in. They might be coming in initially just to avail of a group. It could be an activity type group, but gradually they're beginning to participate in their own community, and they're actually then becoming involved in more activist type groups. And that work has to be resourced. And I think what we've done is we've almost taken out the foundation. So we have all these services and we have all these interventions, but the foundation that needs to underlie those of actually community building and community work has actually been hollowed out through a series of cuts. And really now we're long past that period of cuts, and it's time that that investment, and really when government is seeing these problems emerge, it shouldn't be a surprise, and it shouldn't be seen really as a political football either. The fact that we're having these problems emerge is a symptom of our lack of investment in community development initiatives like family resource centres around the country. And if we don't make that that investment, and we don't make it in a timely, proactive way, then it's only a matter of time then when communities start, stresses and strains come on, lack of housing, lack of health services. And there are those, there are specific actors then that will see that as fertile ground to come in and to create division and to pick people against each other and to create hierarchies amongst the different people in the community.
You describe the potential challenges, the real life challenges very well indeed. Stay with me for a minute, Fergal Landy of the Family Resource Centre, if you will. We have a real life example, let's say, of integration with us as well. Edgar Flores, you're originally from Guatemala, isn't that right? You came to Ireland with your family in 2023.
Yes, that is correct. I came here to Ireland in 2023. I was moved to Monaghan, County Monaghan, in April 2023. Because we have to wait a process to get access to the labor market. During that time, my main focus was to involve in the community. So I started doing voluntary work, knowing my community resources. So therefore, you know, at the end of November 2023, I got access to the labor market in January 2024.
How long were you in the system, let's say, Edgar, before you got access to the work market, the labor market?
Well, you know, it was probably more than 11 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like around 10.
So did the whole experience become better and more productive for you after you were able to work? What was it like before then?
Well, you know, at the beginning you have, you know, it's limited, right, on what you can do or where you can go, you know, stuff of that nature, right? But still, you know, you find a ways to get yourself, you know, for example, our children's needed to go to summer camp. So in order for us to be able to get that, we start volunteering in a family resource center that was doing summer camp. And, you know, we were able to get this type of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, things were there, but, you know, just need to get ourselves around.
Was it difficult or easy to understand the systems that you were going through and the procedures?
Oh, well, the system is a little bit complicated, you know. There's like different type of services and, you know, it's like some stage, you don't know where you're going, what you have to do. But, you know, our main focus, I guess that probably is because we integrate to the community, so we find our own way. Me and my wife, we find our own way to get us into working, right?
Okay.
So we start getting preparation. And you know, and through that vivid experience, you know, once I begin this role, which I work right now for the Clones Family Resource Center, which, you know, we're in the border. But it helps me with other people that is experiencing difficulties, because going through a vivid experience, it helps me to actually, you know, help other people.
To help
people,
others,
basically.
Yeah. And you were proactive straight away with volunteering and then with work when you could immediately you started. You have two young children, Edgar, 5 and 13, I think. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
One of your youngest has autism. So how did you find accessing services and so on for your child?
Well, you know, it was very complicated as well, because we didn't know what was actually, you know, we didn't have a real diagnosis. So in order for us to get a diagnosis, you know, we have to go through a referral process and go through a lot of stuff. But basically, you know, being pushing and pushing and pushing until actually that happens. So we finally got the diagnosis like probably 2 months ago. So, and therefore, you know, once we got that, then we start finding, you know, what things can we do to help or boy, during the meantime as well, we already knew that we need to get additional support. So we were linking with different groups, organizations that were in the area. That would allow us to understand better the situation and not going through a denial stage, but, you know, try to intervene.
Yeah. And I know you have great insights, I must say. I know you're back studying as well for a degree in community development. So more power to you, Edgar, in that regard as well. Can I ask you, Fergal Landy, finally, what are your thoughts and your recommendations in terms of improving the system we have?
Well, I suppose like we've a general election coming up at the moment, and we're really hoping that all the parties focus on how the next government can adequately resource organizations like family resource centers, and not, of course, not only family resource centers, but we find it a very difficult challenge over the last two budget cycles to get really what is a very minimal basic level of funding for these types of activities.
You say, with more resources, you can do more as an organization as well. Look, we'll talk again quite soon. Fergal Landy, CEO of the Family Resource Center, and Edgar Flores, thank you both very much indeed for joining us.